secretly recorded from deep inside the bowels of a decommissioned missile silo, we bring you the man, one single man who wants to bring light to the darkness and dark to the lightness. Although he's not always right, he is always certain. So now, with security protocols in place, the protesters have been forced back behind the barricades and the blast doors are now sealed. Without further delay, let me introduce you to the host of Hutcast, Mr. Tim Hutner.
Thank you, Sergeant at Arms. You can now take your post.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individual and participants. These views and opinions expressed do not represent those of the host or the show. The opinions in this broadcast are not to replace your legal, medical, or spiritual professionals.
Welcome to Hutcast. Today is 4/28/2024. And back by popular demand, one of our great guests, Dr. Ely. Dr. Ely is a heck of a guy, and he's coming back to tell us what's going on new in his world. So if you stand by, we'll give him a conversation and hope to goodness we can all learn something from it. So for Hutcast, standing by, we'll be right back.
Need a quick healthy boost to start your day? Try Superfuel. Superfuel by Casmo is loaded with vitamins and healthy ingredients that will give you a quick healthy boost. Make Superfuel a great tasting, low calorie addition to your daily regimen. Order Superfuel at www.superfuel.me or call 833-FUEL-X12, FUELX12, or 833-383-5912, Super Fuel.
Aloha.
Aloha, Dr. Ely. How are you?
I am doing great, sir. How about yourself?
I am functioning within normal operating parameters, at least today.
Well, you know, that is something very special to say on a full moon.
Good to hear from you. How you been? We're recording. We're just going to jump right into this, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, let me put in my mic so it's a little clearer for you. Yeah. And I can take myself off of the...
Okay, can you hear me?
Try it again. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Make sure I'm... Yeah, that's the right way. That's the right one. Okay. So, yeah, I'm all yours. What do we got, an hour?
We can have 40 minutes, an hour. You're in control. Let's figure out what's new in the world.
Whoa, what's new in the world? What's new in the world is what's old in the world. What's new in the world is we've been spending a lot of time making sure that we feel very confident teaching the best approach, the best practices, the healthiest habits for dealing with the EMFs that we're exposed to a lot of, in many cases, by choice, and in some cases, not by choice.
Right.
The thing that we've done is, just like we did with the water last year, is, you know, we have spent a lot of time not only in research, but in testing and making sure we could get reproducible results with what we're doing. So the big thing that I'm really excited about and touting is we have a free EMF guide at the Healing for the Ages. We have a free EMF guide with two really cool videos that people can go and watch, where we demonstrate our methodology for how we are determining and saying the things that we're doing. So it's very important to us that we prove what we do.
Okay.
We feel like we've cracked the code on EMFs.
For listeners at home, let's define EMF for these guys.
So EMF is going to stand for electromagnetic frequencies. So the easiest one to understand is electricity itself. And electricity will create a magnetic field around it. And we are very, very sensitive, the human body is, thanks to the nervous system, to magnetic fields. And then we have the newer, when I say newer, I'm talking about in the last 100 years, really, of a radio frequency signals or RF electromagnetic fields. And this is something that has become an increasingly graver issue in terms of the relationship to of the radio frequency EMF, the high frequency, especially EMFs, to deterioration of health and development of things like cancer and other various ailments in the body.
Okay.
So when you look at EMFs, it's super important to understand that we are constantly, Tim, we are constantly in a, you know, in a bathing in EMFs. In our home, we have so many emission sources, and we show this in the second video, like actually measuring what's going on around the typical home. From microwaves to electric appliances to routers, computers, cell phones, smart meters, things of that nature.
High voltage power lines, if you live near some of those.
Which we all know have been conclusively shown to, because of the magnetic fields coming off of them, to contribute to the development of childhood leukemias
and
other cancers, right? This was debated and dismissed heavily when it was first proposed. And then, of course, now you get some, you know, 10 to 20 years after it was first discussed in that way where people finally go, oh, yeah, that actually does happen. You know what I mean?
Happened right after the fact.
Yeah, after I denied and dismissed and made you into a conspiracy theorist for you know a couple of decades, then I'm going to tell you, oh, it was actually a conspiracy fact you were talking about, all of that, right? But and I suspect, sadly, that'll probably be the case here with the 5G towers and EMFs, and they only admit to these things once they've gotten to a place. Hold on one second here. I got somebody calling.
Okay, we left off where the conspiracy theorist, they left you in a spot where you were going to just kind of be that guy, and then all of a sudden, magically delicious, you're the guy.
Yeah. So when we look at the human nature, is so much of what is in the world is driven by sadly, you know, military research, and then military research that can then be commercialized. And what ends up happening, you know, I think one of the easiest examples of this is that pesticides were used during World War I predominantly. And then they become banned, but now magically they are safe for to spray our crops and for human consumption, right?
Right. All of a sudden.
All of a sudden. And you see this as a repeatable kind of theme throughout. You know, it's the same with genetic modified organisms and food crops. You know, that starts out as, you know, studying how to genetically modify, you know, life itself. Mm-hmm. And we see where that's going, you know, right now as well. And I think that the same was true for communication. Communication, when you read the work of Dr. Robert Becker, The Body Electric, is he did a great job of reading one of his books right now, Cross Currents, where he does a really great job of not only talking about science, but talking about this connection between how things are developed. And one of the things that he points out with communication was that the U.S. Navy, in Wisconsin, I believe was a state, was they wanted to figure out how they could transmit to subs under the water without the sub having to come up to receive the communication. So they actually developed a in-ground antenna that was able to transmit frequency wavelength through the earth to get to where they wanted them. But the problem was there's a huge magnetic field created by this, and the homes and people living within that magnetic field suffer the consequences of that. Well, I think what we're going to see is that, and I think what we are seeing already, is that same phenomenon with cell phones. So let me ask you a couple questions here, Tim. Let's play along here. I'm having some fun doing these kind of talks because they're more conceptual at the start.
Go ahead.
you and I are walking up on, you know, a nice, you know, hill, and we see an antenna on that hill. And we see electricity coming off of that antenna at its extremities. Are you going to go and grab that antenna?
Not usually.
not usually. Every now and then, if I have enough brew, I'll maybe think about it. You know, if I get goaded into it, maybe, but not usually.
Yeah, it's not something I would go after, but let's play along. I don't grab it. Now what?
Well, the funny thing is, that's exactly what we're doing every time we hold our cell phones.
Sure.
Okay, there are 5 antennas in the cell phone. 1 for the cellular communication, 1 for the Wi-Fi, 1 for Bluetooth, and then 2 for location. 1 that's for GPS, for, you know, your maps and your ways and stuff like that. And then a hidden one called the ultra wideband that most people don't even know is on there, but that's stealing all of your precious private data and information because you have it turned on and you've given them permission by having it turned on to be able to get all that private personal data. And that's why you have a conversation with somebody and then magically ads start showing up.
Right.
That you've had a conversation about.
Right.
So in the guide that we've put together, we do start teaching people how to turn off the ultra wideband network antenna. And we teach people to turn off the GPS location antenna, and when they're not using it, you know, you can always turn it on if you need to get directions, but why have it on if you're not using it? And then we teach people how to, when in what situations to have their, to use the cellular antenna versus which situations to use their Wi-Fi. And the whole purpose of this is to start the process of dealing with EMFs by limiting exposure to them. See, antennas are going to be huge, not only because it's two-way, you know, you're not just receiving information, there's information being sent out. They're going to be huge emission sources of EMFs on the cell phone. So, Tim, have you ever had this situation where you're holding your cell phone and it starts to, you start to feel this weird sensation in your hands, maybe up your arm a little bit?
Yeah, every time I pay the bill.
There you go. Right?
I get that weird sensation, but I don't know if it's in my hand. It's probably in my buttocks through my checkbook, right?
Yeah, maybe there too, right? Well, I'm paying for my own demise here. You know, how smart am I? Well, some people will report this. I feel this. I just had this, like I had to go and check on my guy outside, right?
Yeah.
So I picked up my phone, which I never do anymore, and I was holding it while it's on Wi-Fi, and within the couple minutes I was holding it, I could feel the tingling start in my hand and up my arm.
Wow.
So now I'm actually, while I'm talking to you, I have my hand being grounded right now. I have my hand on a grounding mat, getting that energy, that accumulated charge and everything out.
So you want to create a ferrite cage?
Not necessarily. Well, that's interesting. Chevalier, Dr. Chevalier will talk about when you're grounding, it's essential to a Faraday cage that you're creating around yourself. I don't think of it like that, because a true Faraday cage is a true block, you know, to what to the EMFs and things like that. I think it's what's actually happening, and we can measure this, is that when you're grounded, let me back up. There's a really interesting law. It's called Ohm's law. And Ohm's law basically says that voltage equals current times resistance. Voltage is measured in volts. Current is measured in amperes. And resistance is measured in ohms. So if our body, and I like to measure what's going on based upon the body as part of the circuit. So I measure the body, you know, this is what I don't see in so many people doing testing with EMFs. It's always what's going on, this invisible boogeyman around us. But I don't see people actually measuring, well, what's the effect on the human body? You know what I mean? So the human body is both antenna and battery. So we have current. We actually run on direct current. You can think of direct current as God made, and Mother Earth runs on direct current, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Man-made current is referred to as alternating current, or AC. And alternating current is something that we should not have on the body when we measure our voltage, for example. If I'm measuring the voltage on the body, the alternating current voltage should be zero. The direct current voltage can be show up measurable, but the alternating current from a voltage standpoint should be zero. But that's not what happens when we're in an EMF field. When we're in an EMF field in our homes, around our computers, around our technology and stuff like that, there are what these devices are emitting, phones, things like that, is alternating current. And alternating current starts to directly compete with our direct current that our body wants to use. And it starts destabilizing our electrical current, our direct current. We can measure this. We've proven this. So what ends up happening is when you're in an EMF field, your body can't get electrically stable in its preferred current, direct current. And we know this is happening because on the body, we can measure the voltage that's created by the alternating current. Remember, that's supposed to be zero, but we can measure what it is. In normal circumstances, or I should say common circumstances, where people are around a lot of electricity and EMFs, you know, the routers and stuff like that, what it typically can be, it can be as high as, we measured so far, I've seen it as high as 7 to 9 volts. That's super high, okay? On average, I've seen it, like just on myself measuring it a lot over the last several months, typically about 3 volts for me. But that's still a lot. Anything over zero is a problem, but especially anything over about, I'd say 0.1 to 0.2 volts is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just for reference. So what happens, what we did was we said, okay, well, let's ask some simple questions and do some simple experimentation, right? Because this doesn't have to be complex. It is, but it doesn't have to be for everybody in their day in and day out life. You don't need to have a degree in electrical engineering to understand this, okay? We want to make it simple. So what we did was we said, let's go outside and measure the body and what is happening to the body when we are earthing, when we're connected to Mother Earth, right? And I don't know about you. I love having my shoes off and my feet connected to the grass or the sand or anything like that. How about you?
Oddly enough, that is something I do.
Right? So it's a great habit. Well, something interesting happens when you are in direct contact with Mother Earth. The VAC, or voltage from the alternating current potential, drops immediately to zero. Now, the only way that can happen, if you understand Ohm's law, is because the alternating current you're being exposed to is actually being put directly into the ground. It's just immediately vanishing. And that's a good thing for your body.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that? Because we also measured what happens to your direct current when you are on the earth, you're earthing, when you're connected to Mother Earth. And what happens is your direct current becomes increasingly more negative. So you are actually charging up your electron bank. You're actually recharging your batteries when you're earthing. You can't recharge your batteries when you are ungrounded and there are EMFs all around you. It just destabilizes your electric field so much that it throws your cells into chaos, really. And it's in that chaos that we start to see protein synthesis errors and cellular replication errors and the devolution into cancerous and other disease phenomenon. So the reality is for us that we have to get back to Mother Earth because we've gotten too far away. And this starts explaining some things that are very interesting. Have you ever wondered why your phone charger doesn't have a third prong?
Define charger, because see, now you're jumping in my world, because I am an electrical engineer, and I have some information that might also assist you in this deal. But to answer your question, if it's a RFID programmer or a charger, it is charging AC cyclic. And it does is it puts that into the battery. The battery converts it back to a DC, and then it goes to an A to D converter.
Okay. But why isn't that third prong on there? Because the third prong is the ground prong.
You mean to go into the house voltage, like in the U.S. here?
Correct.
Okay. I believe from the USA ATMSE standards that because it's such a low input of voltage that there's no grounding needed, because your converter does all the work. So that's what I would assume, but I have not looked it up by the ATSM standards.
That sounds plausible to me, what you're saying, right? And that would seem like a good rationale, right?
It would seem like
it's such a small current that we don't have to worry about grounding it, right? That's the argument, essentially. Right?
Okay.
Well, a couple of things with that. When you measure the phone plugged in terms of EMF emission versus when it's unplugged, the EMFs are dramatically higher when it's plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that we have to take into account is the effect of low current on the cell environment, especially AC current, alternating current.
Okay.
Because alternating current, and correct me if I'm wrong or if I'm mis-explaining something here, alternating current is going to shift its polarity. So if we're talking about like 60 hertz in terms of frequency for alternating current, that would say that literally every second the polarity is shifting 60 times. The waveform is changing during that second.
Well, the waveform would jump from 0 to plus 110, 120, wherever you're at, from 0 to 110. But on AC, true AC, the other one is just the grounding pole. So literally on the hot side, you look at your plug-in, one's a wide one, one's a narrow one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only one hot, and there is one neutral.
Mm-hmm.
DC has polarity. AC doesn't have polarity. It has cyclic.
You got it. Cyclic. That would be the correct terminology.
And if you look at that on a lab scope, you'd see a zero plus, a zero plus, a zero plus. It's a floor of zero. That's how we see it in our work.
I don't know what that means. That's a new word for me.
Floor is, okay, you talked about your body has a charge in it. And it, because you're charged, you can't uncharge or not be EMF'd. And because you already have a floor of 7 volts, it's got to go from 7 and up, not from 0 and up. When you ground yourself, now you're making 0, and you can recharge your batteries, your human batteries.
Correct. So when we're looking at this, then what that is suggesting is that, and this is where I start asking some questions, because we see studies, a lot of EMF studies were based upon what is the amount of EMF, and specifically with radio frequencies,
okay,
that would start to elevate the temperature of the body. That's where they felt it was concerning.
So did we switch from EMFs to RFI?
EMFs to RFI. What does RFI stand for?
Radio frequency.
Yeah, well, in the world of EMFs, radio frequency is considered an EMF. When we're talking in that thing, there's going to be electric, magnetic, and then radio frequency would all be in the same category of EMFs, of electromagnetic frequencies.
Does that include the X-rays, gamma rays, which are most damaging to the human body, ionization, radiation, and part of electromagnetic spectrum? Because that'll mess with the DNA.
Well, this is what they were saying. Because it's non-ionizing radiation with the 5G and with the radio frequencies that are supposedly being used, because it's non-ionizing, from what they're saying, is that it can't have a negative effect upon the body, similar to the aforementioned the gamma rays and the X-rays and things like that we know have an effect, right?
On right,
the DNA and
right.
Things like that. This has been the argument. So what they did in the, I think it was in the late 50s to early 60s, was that they said, well, how do we establish the standards for what safety is going to be? And this was based upon them finding that there were, you know, naval officers, and okay. I believe this was the Army as well, that were starting to develop cancer, people who were working with radar, for example. And
right.
they were starting to have offspring who were also genetically malformed. Okay. So it says, well, we need to establish some safety around this. So they said, okay, well, what should the safety guidelines be based upon? And the safety guidelines were said that anything that can't raise the temperature of the body would be deemed as safe. That once you start raising the temperature of the body, that's no doubt that that's a problem. That's a bad thing.
So, right? So now you shifted from alpha to beta particles.
That I don't know, but I'm going to trust your words and sure have a greater expertise on it than me.
Well, beta particles right. burns, and alpha particles cannot penetrate in intact skin.
Okay. Well, the thing with it is that what they were being very dismissive of were the effects of low current on the cellular environment, particularly low alternating current.
Okay.
It was just assumed that low alternating current couldn't have a deleterious effect upon the cellular environment and cell function.
Wow.
Why? Because it wasn't at a strong enough current to raise the temperature of the body.
Okay.
Right. So that this is the flawed logic that was being used. Well, when you start studying what low alternating current, and we're talking nanoamperes and picoamperes here, very small doses of current that it's almost imperceptible unless you're really electrosensitive or an empath or something like that.
Okay.
What happens is that it does play a tremendous role in throwing off the cell environment. It essentially places the cell into a start-stop pattern throughout that second that it's being applied. So imagine you are getting in a vehicle with me, and I say we're going to go from LA to Miami. And we start driving down the block. We drive 6 feet, and I slam on the brakes. And then as soon as you lurch forward, I slam on the grass for another 6 feet. And then I slam on the brakes again. And I do this all the way down to the end of the street. And then I say to you, hey, Tim, you want to still drive with me all the way from LA to Miami? Because I'm going to be doing this the entire time. Are you going to stay in that vehicle, or are you getting out of that vehicle?
Right. I think I'd have to bring a bunch of paint cans with me, you know, so we can shake them up in there.
Exactly, right? And so what you end up doing is you say, well, how do we get out of that experience from the cellular perspective? Well, the way we get out of that experience from the cellular perspective is we ground, we earth our body. And when we're doing that, there's a dual phenomenon that appears to be occurring.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that appears to be occurring is that any exposure to the nano and pico amperes that come with the electromagnetic frequencies that we're exposing ourselves to immediately get grounded. So it drops the voltage alternating current that we can measure to zero.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
Sure, right.
The second phenomenon, and this is something Chevalier has talked about a lot, the second phenomenon is that we start recharging our body with electrons from the earth. And how do we measure that? Well, we see that the voltage DC stabilizes and becomes increasingly more negative until it reaches its own steady state, indicating that you're at full capacity in terms of your recharge.
Mm.
And how does this manifest when we're in that state? Well, the things that we see are, number one, inflammation drops through the floor, just kind of goes away, which is a nice experience for anybody who's living in a state of constant kind of chronic inflammation, joint pain, you know, digestive discomfort, heart, cardio, any kind of anything with itis at the end would indicate that there's inflammation, right?
Okay.
And then what we do is we look at the other flip side of it. Well, when you are grounding, especially for extended periods longer than 30 to 45 minutes a day, you are allowing your electrons to replenish in your body. And at the same time turning off some of the natural semiconductors and artificial semiconductors in the cell that we've been exposed to. Essentially, what you're allowing your body to do is to recharge your adrenal glands and start to replenish your cortisol levels and things of that nature. And how does that manifest itself? It manifests itself with people who are sleeping through the night, who are not waking up even to go pee, who are feeling like they're getting into a much deeper restorative sleep every night, and who are dreaming once again with pleasant dreams. These are all things over the, especially the last 4 years since the 5G towers have gone up, that we've heard report after report after report of people being disturbed, that they wake up several times a night, their dreams, if they do have them, are horrible, you know, that they wake up exhausted, brain fog, you know, the next day. And that's because they've been sleeping ungrounded. So one of the big things that we've been developed, that we didn't develop the products, but that we've put these several products together to form a really efficient system, is we have proven that you can take a grounding mat, put it on your bed, put a grounding sheet on top of it, and that when you are have skin-to-skin contact with this system, your VAC drops to zero instantly, your VDC becomes increasingly more negative, and mimics the exact experience of what happens when your feet are on the ground outside. And that you're doing it all night long while you're sleeping for 8 hours gives you 8 hours of basically being EMF-free or EMF-unaffected, I should say.
Interesting.
And so some people will say that's kind of like a Faraday cage. I was reading an article from Chevalier on how he's liking it to a Faraday cage. We've had people refer to it as like a cocoon that you're creating for yourself. I think it's actually not those things, but you know, we're splitting hairs at that point. I think what's actually happening is you're being exposed still, because there are EMF fields around, you're being exposed to nano and pico ampere alternating current still, but it's just immediately grounding. And because it's immediately grounding, there's really no perceptible effect for your cells.
Right.
Your cells charge up and everything starts working the way it's supposed to work.
So ground therapy, and I believe that's a trademark. And if I remember right, there's a designer called Clint Ober?
Clint Ober, yeah, is the first person of prominence to come out and really share this with everybody for sure.
Right, right. And I always thought, hey, you know, it makes sense. In our shop environment, I don't do this thing all day, this podcast, but I do weld. And you would be surprised how much RFI and EMI comes off of a spark when you make your arc. Mm-hmm. Whether you TIG, which is high frequency start, and or if you want a pulse TIG and drag and start. It's incredible amount of distortion.
Amen.
I'm sorry?
I said, amen. It's incredible it's incredible what the body is able to withstand, you know, especially with our exposure. But you know, I think Clint right now, my personal opinion on what I like the work Clint has done, obviously, and I like the work Sinatra, who's worked with him, and there's a few other scientists who work with him. I really like what they've done. Mm-hmm. My favorite among that group is Chevalier.
Okay.
I think Chevalier, who's a PhD physicist, I think he lends the greatest credibility from a scientific standpoint to that group. And his way he explains things are very easy to understand, you know, the concepts. But for me, just this year alone, reading in the early 1900s, George Lakofsky and his work, following it up with reading Dr. Robert Obecker's work, who was much of what we know about the cellular ability to regenerate comes from Dr. Robert Becker, not Dr. Robert Young. He's another great doctor.
Okay.
And then you put that together with the recent work of Clint Ober's team and one of my personal favorites, who's Chevalier, what you start seeing is that there is something incredibly special here. And especially timely with respect to the 5G towers going up all over the world and our increasing, addiction to our phones and to computers and being connected all day and night long and everything, that while this may present certain conveniences for us, really what it presents more so is a trade-off. Something that Thomas Sowell would talk about. He's like, there's not really any idealism. It's just life is a series of trade-offs that we're trading our convenience and our freedom, sadly, in a lot of ways. We're trading our freedom for convenience. But along with that freedom that we're trading for convenience is we're trading our health for convenience. And being in a state of disease is decidedly inconvenient, which unfortunately, many people learn very late, and there's very little attribution of the cause of that disease state to these invisible electromagnetic frequencies that we are exposing ourselves to. I mean, if we think about it, you know, we're wearing shoes that, this is one of, I was watching the Earthing documentary a couple of days ago, and I thought Clint had a really good insight on this. It's not one that many of us haven't thought of, you know, but it's just the simplicity of it, the brilliance of it. He's like, there's no greater destructive invention that man has ever made than the tennis shoe.
Okay.
You know, insulating souls, disconnecting from Mother Earth. Now we add in the increasing dependence on, you know, radio frequency for communication and the, of course, electric and magnetic fields that come along with it. There's no ability, there's no way for the body to dissipate that back into the ground until you take those shoes off and you put your feet actually on a grounding surface, you know, like Mother Earth could be. What you end up doing is you start exposing the body. And there was a very interesting point made in this about our children, that when you look at a child's life, our children, which are in a constant state of hormonal and neurological development, mm-hmm. right? From the moment they sleep in a bed that isn't grounded, so there's no connection there. They wake up and go to school that is and use all kind of technology. So they're exposed to tremendous EMFs, and almost every school in the nation has 5G towers associated with it now. That they're exposed to these things, and that these kids are then go from that experience to an after school program where there is, it might be outdoors, but they're still wearing cleats and all this protective gear that's insulating them from being connected to Mother Earth. And then they go home and do their homework, and then they jump on some video games or on their phone or whatever you have you, and then they go to sleep. That in a 24-hour cycle, this child that was originally designed to be in contact with Mother Earth for 24 hours a day is actually in so many cases in contact with Mother Earth 0 minutes in an entire day. And that we wonder why these kids' behaviors patterns change. We wonder why they become less focused and more difficult behaviorally, ADHD, and then we put them on opioids and all kind of
Ritalin
and everything to try and subdue them. When really what they're expressing is a lack of connection to a force that allows for the grounding of the alternating current and a recharging of the body's battery simultaneously, you know? And I think
it's
a pretty insightful thing, kind of thing.
Well, let me shift gears. And do you personally have a sleep mat that's grounded? Do you use one of them?
I do. Yeah, I tested them out, and that's one of the things we are showing. We show people, and Tim, I actually test myself on it using a multimeter and a continuity check. I use the continuity check every night and every morning, but I actually remeasure myself on the system once a week at least, so that I can confirm that we're still having the same efficacy. And it's been several months, and I will tell you this, I will not sleep any other way ever again in my life.
Wow. That's incredible.
I've actually purchased, there's a couple phenomena. I've always dreamed, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I'd say since 2020, the dreams have gotten very strange.
Okay. We all know that, COVID.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, but a lot of that I attributed to just like what I'm seeing in the world today and my you know, my mind processing kind of what's going on, right?
Okay.
But since I've been on the grounding sleep system, I only have good dreams again, which was very curious to me. But that really is, that's so subjective. You know, how do you prove that?
Right? Sure. But if you dream good, you live good. You flourish. You know, you're not flourish, but you build things during the week and during the day. I mean, good dreams move you along. Bad dreams just kind of shut you down.
They're essential, right?
Yes.
Good dreams. I mean, sweet. That's why we say to each other, "Sweet dreams." You
right.
know? So that's one. But I think the thing that's a little bit more objective and measurable is something that I find fascinating, which is I wake up earlier. Mm-hmm. I used to wake up a little groggy. I'm a night owl. I like staying up, getting work done, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's the way some of us are wired. I can still stay up. I was staying up to like 2-3 in the morning
most
of the last several years, which is a little ridiculous. So I've curbed that. I'm down to like, I go to bed around midnight or somewhere in there now. But, I wake up always before my alarm. I set my alarm to go off at, 6:39 every morning, right? I have yet to, in the last 2 months, need my alarm to wake me up. I'm always up before my alarm every single day. And that's the first time in my entire life that that's happened.
See, you're in Hawaii, correct?
No, I'm in Arizona.
Arizona. Okay. Well, do they have daylight savings in Arizona?
They do not.
Okay. See, Midwest, they do. And if you get set and you start waking up at your normal time, because once you get your body gets used to it, you're up, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you flip the clock, your body has to relearn that. And I didn't know if they did that where you're at.
They didn't, but you know, it doesn't matter. I got, my team is all over the world, so I have to, you know, accommodate the majority of the people which go through that. So it does affect me, you know, my days start happening earlier once everybody goes into daylight savings time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I get you, man. I get you.
Yeah. You know, but the cool thing about this is that one, it's another free medicine. If you really get down to it and you're just doing earthing, right? Every day, it's a free medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that gets exciting for me is that we have a measurable look at what's actually happening to the human body with a, published, and researched understanding of what microcurrents, nano and pico currents,
mm-hmm.
Can do to the cellular environment. And why they're harmful, you know, in many cases. I mean, there's so many studies that Dr. Becker has cited throughout his publications that it's just like, you see us over and over and over again, that if we base everything on what raises the body temperature, we're missing the mark. If we base things on what injure the cell, we start understanding much better where the actual safety levels need to be. And if we understand things, simple things like our phones have 5 antennas that are ungrounded that we're holding, it makes sense to go, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to, you know, leave my phone off my body when I'm using it. I'm going to turn off the antennas that I'm not using when I don't need them, and lower my EMF exposure. My phone right now, as I'm talking to you, is laying on a grounding mat, mm-hmm. you know, and it's away from my body. Because it just, I don't need it on me. And that when I carry my phone and leave the house with it, the few occasions I do leave my house with my phone now, I actually turn my phone off completely when it's on my body. I'll have it with me and I'll turn it back on. It takes 10 seconds to boot up. I don't care about that. Right. I'll wait. And then I turn it back off again. But that what we're really teaching here is the importance of getting into healthier habits. with the understanding of what low levels of alternating current and magnetic fields can really do to destroy us. I mean, there's a great study that was done on a number of rats showing that when you expose them to just a 1 milligauss constant magnetic field, that over the course of several months, they go into fight or flight, even though their emotional or behavioral patterns don't really change that dramatically. Their body is still able to perceive the magnetic field and sees it as a threat. Mm. And that their cortisol levels go up. And then, of course, after you reach a point of exhaustion where you've just been pushing cortisol all the time, then what ends up happening is you go into exhaustion and now your cortisol levels fall through the floor and you're always exhausted. And then you start seeing some behavioral shifts. But when cortisol levels are high, what happens is it leads to sleep disturbance. You can't get to sleep. People have a hard time. So if I have somebody now who's like, hey, it takes me 2 hours to get to sleep, my first thing with them is, are you grounding? You know, and I can read you. I get about a testimony or two a day on the grounding sleep system with people that are on it. I can read to you some of them if you want, but I mean, and I have them right on my phone. But the idea is that this, for us in the age of 5G, grounding is no longer one of those things that we should look at as and do that too. That's a good idea too. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but
sure.
It's not the primary thing, but do it too. Now, the way I teach it, based upon everything we've been learning and the results we've been getting with it, is very simple. This is your foundation. If you want to understand, if you want to spend money on supplementation, organic food, cleaning your water, all the things that I spend money and time on, that I better be grounding first if my body is going to experience the enormous benefit of those other healing, balancing things that I do, right?
So let's say, go ahead. If you're finished there?
No, that's it. Go for it.
Two questions. The magnetic bracelets that a lot of people wear to try and ionize and polarize their iron in their body. And as an electronic technician, you wear a grounding strap. And if you were to touch a linear IC or some kind of an IC, even though you don't see a spark or a PIV, we call it positive inverted voltages, doesn't mean there isn't one. So what if the sleep guys didn't make a mattress to lay on, but made a actual grounding like we do in electronics? Same gig?
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. It would still do it, and they have grounding straps and things like that that you could just put on, and they work just fine. The reason I went with the sleep system is because there is a debate about surface area in terms of conductivity. Like, there's a lot of people who say it doesn't, as long as you're grounded, it doesn't matter how much surface area is in contact with the grounding source. I'm a mechanical engineer by my trade, and so I'm a surface area guy, and I'm a size guy.
Okay.
And I'm also a comfort guy. When I measured the efficiency of the sheet alone, for example, the grounding sheet on the bed, versus the grounding mat, it's not comparable. The grounding mat is hands down better. But the grounding mat, in most cases, isn't comfortable to lay on because of the materials that are used.
Right.
So we just put a grounding sheet that is comfortable on top of it, and now you don't have to have something attached to you. I'm not going to wear a grounding strap at night. I'm just not going to do it. It's just there's no interest in me to do that.
Yeah.
But I'll lay on a grounding sheet. And the thing is, we're talking a couple hundred dollars to set up your bedroom to be completely, really healing.
So what do you feel the best system is?
The best system, in my opinion, right now, from what we've tested so far, is a grounding mat with a grounding sheet on top of it. Mm-hmm. And then your flat sheet or your comforter or whatever, you can use whatever you want, who cares? As far as the efficiency of the system, to me, it's having, at least 80% of your skin exposed and having your skin in contact, because you're going to roll over at night and move around, right? Obviously, and stuff like that. but that no matter where I move to, I'm going to be grounded in my bed. So for me, sleep is, I've never enjoyed sleep. I always, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I got to do it. You know what I mean? And yeah. I want to get back to my work, you know?
Sure. Right. Right.
Right. But now I look forward to sleeping. I can't wait to go to sleep. And what dreams am I going to have? And oh my God, every night I know I'm in a true healing experience, especially in 5G, which I realize now wasn't happening, and why I would get so depleted and so drained. Cause I push it, man. Anyway, I love what I do. I love working, you know? So I have a tendency to go overboard with it anyway. But I never remember being this drained as I have been since the 5G towers went up. And I just attributed it to how much work I was doing and the emotional demand of the work that I'm doing.
Getting older, right? All that.
Right. And those are factors, right? Let's be objective. Those are factors. But I cannot ignore the fact that I have a measurable alternating current voltage on my body all day long. And understanding what the impact of that is from a cellular perspective.
So let's get the system straight out here. I got a question about that. Grounding mat, grounding sheet, and then you can put your sheets and stuff on top of that?
Yeah, well, no, then you put your flat sheet on. You need to have skin contacts. Like, we tested a grounding mat, and then we went and got organic linen sheets and organic hemp sheets, you know what I mean? Like the fitted to put on top of the grounding mat. So think of it like this. And it's in the guide and people can see it. We have actually pictures for it in the guide. But think of it like this. You have your mattress, and then you're going to take and put on top of that mattress, hopefully a hypoallergenic cover.
Okay.
In case there's mold in the mattress. That's another part of the whole system, is we don't want people breathing in mold. So just if it's in the bed, just trap it in there. Just put a cover on it, right? And then you take the grounding mat and put it on top of that. And then on top of the grounding mat, you put a fitted grounding sheet. And now when you lay your body on that fitted grounding sheet, you're going to be grounding all night long. Now, as far as the flat sheet and the comforter, pillows even, use whatever you want. Because your body is in skin direct contact with the grounding sheet, which is in contact with the grounding mat, which is the greater efficient grounding device. And when you have that set up, you are now prepped for really sweet, truly sweet dreams.
Hmm. Can you measure that? Is it measurable? Can you take a multimeter, a DVOM, a lab scope, touch the grounding sheet, run a line out to side, and put a copper rod in the ground, and then measure a voltage difference?
Yes, and I've done that. The experiment I did was I put a copper grounding rod outside and ran copper into the bedroom and grounded off of that, grounded the sheets directly to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the exact same measurables for me using VAC. I was using, and I know I take heat on this, and I get it. We all have our Rolls Royce of things that we like in terms of equipment, right?
Yeah.
I have a simple Klein MM 420, right? And I have everybody, of course, telling me to get a Fluke and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, I'll go get a Fluke.
I wasn't going there. I was going to stay in my lane.
Right. But I understand. I get it. You know, there's a Rolls Royce and I'm not driving a Rolls Royce. I understand. But the Klein seems to work just fine in terms of the measurements we're looking at. So my number one thing is, what's our reference? What happens when I'm grounding? What happens when I'm earthing? When I'm earthing, VAC goes to zero, VDC becomes increasingly more negative, right? That's the phenomenon that I'm trying to recreate, because that's what happens when I'm earthing.
Mm-hmm.
So I measure that against the grounding sheets, any grounding equipment I'm testing, plugged into the grounding port of the electrical system in my house. I'm one of the people where the electrical system appears just fine, you know? So I'm not really worried about that kind of stuff. But and then I did put a copper rod out and did the copper test, and it was the same thing. So you just kind of like, okay,
so it verified the readings. You verified them.
Yeah, it verified. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, then let me ask you a different question.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if lightning hits the area?
Well, see, now this is the thing. if lightning hits or somebody were to come into my backyard and charge up that and put a battery, right, on that grounding rod, because I don't have it pounded all the way into the ground, you know, some of it's exposed, I'm going to get fried, right? It's just a conductor, right? So that doesn't sound very interesting to me.
Well, so, you asked me about a wire that was leaking electricity. Would I grab it? And we get struck with lightning a lot around here.
Right. So this is where you want to be on your, this is where I think being in a properly wired home where you are grounded, in the, where you're grounded to your common, your ground in your, for your home.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. And then like if your house gets hit with with a lightning bolt, are you worried?
I actually am. Yes. I've been hit with lightning before.
Okay. Well, that's a fair conversation right there. And I would say to somebody then at that point, if you feel like it's going to be, if you know there's going to be lightning, I wouldn't maybe ground at that time just for safety's sake. You know what I mean? If that's
sure,
what
sure.
if there's going to be, yeah, it's just, I mean, it makes like, that seems like a really reasonable caution, right?
Well,
you know, just in case kind of thing.
You know, what happens if you're grounded at night and like storms roll through the evening? I've been in my bed and I had a not a cell phone, but you know, the 900 cordless phones, old school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had an antenna on the roof that was out there and it hit it, came in the coax, blew off the antenna that was on the base station, shot it across the room and all within a big flash of light. I'm like, what was that? Oh, you know, you hit it hurt it, but you know, I didn't really realize what it hit until it hit. So I looked at the antenna. It looked like a gun that somebody had put a finger in and it exploded in multiple. Dude, it was like traumatic stuff.
That's crazy. So yeah, that would be a good time to not be grounded.
Well, you didn't have a choice. I was sleeping.
Yeah. It's a good point. I guess you'd have to pay really close attention to whether or not a system's rolling through, you know, before you go to sleep, right?
Every night? I mean, that's an every night thing.
Well, I don't know where you live, but like where I live, we have the monsoons where we'll have some periods where we'll have electric, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to be mindful of that. And
high disturbance times,
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's just something you got to be a little more mindful of maybe in those environments for sure.
Because even if you're grounded, even if you have a copper outside, or you're in, even our electrical systems here in Minnesota have to have a copper rod. It's got to be 3/8 in diameter. It's got to be at least 4 feet in the ground. It's electrical code. Doesn't mean you still can't get hit. I've been hit. The house has been hit 3 times. One took the studio out.
Oh, wow. Dude.
One took my phone out, and the other one took a bunch of TVs and stuff. So I'm thinking, maybe the good Lord
odds?
Upstairs is like, kind
of
like
the odds of that though,
priming me for phase two of my life, end of life. So when I, you know, I see these grounding beds and I thought, how could you ever pay attention that close? What if you forget one time? Now you're, Eli Shish Kebab?
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to roll my dice with it and say, you know what? If that's going to happen, then that was the way it was supposed to happen. And I've already decided how I'm making the transition with a smile on my face and a lot of love in my heart. So that's just going to be my day.
Right.
You know, but I'm going to really enjoy every day between now and then where that didn't happen. And I'm having the best sleep and the greatest dreams I've had, and especially the last 4 years.
Well, you certainly have a lot of positive things to say, and I could take some pages out of your book because I'm the pessimist that's optimistic. And you sit back and you go, yeah, but you know, and I just got off the phone with what was it, last Sunday's episode, Dr. Artis.
Right.
Yeah, and we had a great conversation, and we were talking all kinds of stuff, and, you know, again, I could be very much out of pages of your books in it, and I'm like, yeah. So when I talk to you, it's like it rejuvenates my happy center. Is that the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you know, the reality is this isn't the end for any of us, you know. This is a classroom we're in. You know, we get to figure out who we are and what we're about, and elevate our consciousness, you know. And I think that what we see along the way is the people who have come before us, the beings that have come before us that mm-hmm. have elevated their consciousness, all speak of the same things, you know, love, gratitude, grace, forgiveness, you know, that, that when we're expressing these higher vibrational traits, that it creates a new energy field around us. And I think for a lot of time, you know, and when I first got started 25 years ago at this, there was a lot of making fun of the idea that there are auric fields and things like that, right?
Right, right.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that every electrical current has a magnetic field that it creates, right?
Absolutely.
And you're telling me that the body definitively, easily provable, runs on direct current. That means that the body has a magnetic field associated with it. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're using a different term describing the same thing, but while the Ayurvedics might call it an aura generated by a chakra or something of that nature, a Western scientist might call it a magnetic field. But what's the real difference between the two things? It's like we're describing the same phenomenon with different words and thinking the other person's crazy, you know,
because they don't understand, right? They don't understand,
right?
So they become jaded and they have an opinion, and then what do you do, right?
Well, that's where we get into problems, because we say, because you're not using the same words I'm using, you're wrong and I'm right.
Yeah,
I'm actually having this conversation with somebody online right now who's I get these wonderful emails, Tim. I just have to tell you, these wonderful emails where people go, "I love you, but you're an idiot." You know, and it's always the same type of person who is convinced that they're right and isn't stopping for a second to step back and go, "Well, what if I'm wrong about this?
Yeah, what if I'm not?" You know, right.
And this is something I know you do. This is something I do. This is, I think, maybe part and parcel to the engineering development. You know, like I have to assume that I could be wrong, you know, so that we take great measures to go through to prove what we're doing and seek that reproducibility. And when I start seeing, like, the first thing I look for when we're assessing what's going on is I look for patterns, and we want to see, is it reproducible? Of course, that's what science to me is about, is mm-hmm. curiosity that we can reproduce. Now we have an explained phenomenon.
Right.
So, you know, when I do this, I'm like, I don't put anything out into the public sphere until I'm absolutely sure. I don't just go out there and pontificate ideas because I want you to be mesmerized by my intellect, or, you know, that's stupid to me. You know, I'm like, just, can we do away with the whole putting people on a pedestal nonsense?
The Mensa group. Right.
Right. Yes, exactly. You know, thank you. Yes, please. Can we stop? You know,
brain pan, stop with that? Brain pan, right. We call it the big junk theory.
Right. You know, it's like, dude, if you saw my wardrobe, you'd see how many spills of food there are in my shirts. And if you, like, how many times I was just walking my dogs the other day, and they, like, got me all tangled up and, like, 2 feet from my truck, tripped me and plowed me to the ground. You know, I mean, it's like, come on, people, we're all just humans. You know, running around a little, really beings of light running around in human bodies. But this is a magical thing we're involved in.
And there are
constantly reduce it.
And there are some more human than others.
Right. And yes, to the people out there who say, "I love you, Dr. H, but you're an idiot."
But
yeah, I agree with you. I am an idiot. And there's that old axiom that whenever you say before the word "but" is irrelevant. Yep.
Yep.
None of it didn't mean anything. What you're really telling me is that you need to be right. And I will tell you, I seek to be right because, of course, I'm a teacher. I want to teach the correct things. But I think it's more important for us to seek to be accurate in what we're doing. Because accuracy, just like facts, doesn't involve an ego or a belief system.
Nope,
it just
not at all.
Is.
Yep, it's the truth or it ain't.
Right. That's all it is. And so when I start, like, I've had people come to me and talk to me about this, and, "Dr. H, I love you, but you're an idiot. And this is why you're an idiot. Let me flood you with all of this stuff." And, you know, and then I ask them always one simple question back. have you attempted to recreate what I've shown using the methods that I showed? And not one of them have ever tried to recreate it. So you're not open to exploring new ideas. You're locked into a dogma and ideology.
Mm.
And ideology, dogmas are the realm of faith and belief systems, mm-hmm. religion. You're in the religion of scientism. You're not acting in the exploration of science. And the folks that I read and I gravitate towards all are devoted scientists. But one of the things that they've never done is attempted to separate philosophy from their approach to exploring scientific inquiry. And when you bring philosophy with scientific inquiry, what you find is integrity.
There you go.
It's so interesting when you talk to those people or listen to them, the ones that have passed on, they all tell a similar tale. That in searching for the explanation to the phenomenon that didn't make sense, they found God. You know, and I think that's the opportunity that exists in front of all of us, is to grow a deeper relationship from the source of the true source origin of where we come. And I think it makes me feel so much better at night knowing that the things that I'm sharing, like on this, this idea on how to test this stuff, Tim, came up when I was fasting. And literally the night before, I was begging God to give me a breakthrough because I'm working with people who are suffering. And I want to be able to tell them something that's accurate and reproducible that's going to be able to help them. And they've put in so much incredible work and done such a great job and stayed true to what they're doing that I'm just like, make me a conduit and let me share something with them and with the world that I know is good, I know does no harm, unless there's lightning, but that genuinely helps, you know?
Yeah.
And then literally the next morning I woke up, and I remember I woke up in the morning, it was a Wednesday, I woke up and shot out of bed, and I had an idea. You know when you get that inspiration, which is like, oh.
I absolutely do.
Right. And I had to go and test it. I actually went outside with my multimeter, not really knowing how to use it very well at that point. And I actually went outside with my multimeter butt naked.
Oh boy.
And I'm in my backyard and I'm just like measuring everything fast and tests out and it works. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? And God was looking at me. He's like, yeah, dude. This,
you know, and I suppose good. The neighbors were looking too, you know. Hey,
right. Well, I got walls, and it was early, you know, so nobody's out. The dogs were looking at me like, you too, huh? All right, yeah, you're waiting for you to do this. But yeah, man, it's, you know, you get that moment where it's like, oh, and so now you tell me, did I figure that out, or was I being divinely guided?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm sorry that these people call you idiot.
And, oh no, I'm not. I think it's hilarious. Actually,
well, I know, but it's still problem. It's still you're taking shots, and it doesn't.
Oh yeah.
And I think I can have some compassion here with you on this because, you know, it's just they haven't proven the point, and in their life they're jaded to what they do, and you know they can't say I love you, but and then not have you feel something of that. So they're in their own trap. Let them be. They're. You know what to do, and you do it.
Yeah, you know with that, I've tossed with this one a little bit, and God definitely gave me a mouth, you know, and a strong desire to use it. So I am one of these insane people. I actually enjoy fighting. And not to say that I enjoy like any acrimony. I enjoy the competition of it. You know, in this case, the intellectual competition of it, you know, and I think it keeps me sharp. And I think it also sends a very important message into the world that it's our duty, and especially in this day and age, to challenge dogma on either side of the fence.
Oh, for sure.
You know, because these are people that are on our side. And I'm like, look, I acknowledge that and acknowledge the beauty within you for being on this side, but I'm not somebody that is seeking to create smaller enclaves of what we are and more polarities and things like that. I'm seeking to build unity here. let's search for this universal law. What's something that we can say works for everyone? I know of two things that I can confidently say work for every human being.
What are they?
Air and water.
Air and water. Okay.
And because of that, I know of a third thing, sunlight. You don't have sunlight, you don't have water, you don't have air, you don't have life.
Right.
So we have some universal laws being established. And now as we get into this invisible spectrum of complete and utter wonder that is, you know, that are electromagnetic frequencies, both natural and sadly man-made, what we start finding is that there's a lot of untapped potential here, a lot of opportunity to explain some things that have been mysteries to us, and a lot of opportunities for us to revisit preconceived ideas and long-held superstitions and beliefs. And when we have these opportunities in front of us and we don't take them, I think the world loses. So it's important for me to go, you know what, you want to tell me I love you, but I'm going to understand where you're coming from with that. I know the need that needs to be fulfilled. You need to be right. So I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to be a teacher as best I can in those moments and challenge you to prove to me that you're right. And if you can prove to me you're right, I'm objective. I'm going to change my mind in the presence of new information. But if the conversation devolves into one of dogma, it's going to, which they all do so far, I hope that something I've shared back with you has put you in a position where you are now even privately putting your ego in the closet for a second and giving yourself a chance to re-emerge and, or I should say re-engage objectivity. Because if we can do that for each other, then the world is going to be a better place for it.
Right. If only we all had that outlook, right?
Well, we in some variation, I believe in my heart that we all do. All people with goodness do. It's the challenges often come up with our ego getting in the way of us, you know, and this is where I think it's so important for us to be like with you. Like, you had some words for me today. I don't know what those words are. I'm not going to try here and snow your audience and be like, oh, I'm so smart. I know exactly what Tim's saying. No, I'm like, dude, explain it to me. I don't know what you're talking about, but I want to.
Well, I didn't do that to position you, not at all.
No. I'm not saying you did. It was just you are smarter at this. You're an electrical engineer. You think differently. I'll tell you, in all of the engineering fields, double E's are just a different breed. You know, you guys are. I started out as a double E, and I couldn't hack it. I didn't have the gear. You know, so I was like, I'm going to go become a mechanical engineer because I need something a little more tangible that I could see, right? But what's interesting now is I can kind of see what you guys see a little bit more. And I think double E's, by and large, have a really beautiful way of seeing the world, especially the double E's that are still fascinated by not just the physics of life, but the biology of life, too. Because I do think you need both to really reach the full potential of what a double E's mind has the capability of doing. And I think that's one of the big issues in our world right now. We have a lot of people who do not bring a balance point, like philosophy brings a balance point to science. We don't have a lot of people bringing balance points to the work they do. They just are immersed in to see if they can do something and not really questioning the ethics or morals or safety or necessity. You know, they're not really satisfying the Socratic pillars, you know, of true thought. But then again, now you're back into questions of philosophy. You know, just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should.
Well, there's always that the naysayers, and that's okay. That's say away. Doesn't affect my opinion either way.
Exactly, right? There's nothing that you can ever do that's going to make me hate you. I'll disagree with you.
Yeah?
You know, but I'm not going to hate you for it, right? That's ridiculous.
And I always tell people, I said, look, your opinion of me is your business. It has nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with me.
And they look at you like, well, I don't get it. I said, you're not listening to me. Your opinion of me is none of my business. And they don't know what to do. They shut down. They kind of go into their little cocoon and go, well, he didn't react.
exactly, right? I didn't get what I wanted.
There was no mental currency experience there for them to say, oh, well, Mr. Brain Pan, you go, you visit the Menza and you do this, all this. And you're like, dudes, it is what it is.
Dude, see, what you're talking about here for all your listeners is you're talking about an enlightened, or what I've been using a lot lately is a re-enlightened perspective.
Okay.
You know, if this has been your perspective your whole life, you're enlightened. You never lost it. But for many people like me, I lost it for a little bit. And, you know, I had to find it again. So we're on this journey for many of us into re-enlightenment. And what you're discussing here is like this greater truth of understanding that I am responsible for me. And that includes how I feel about me, and your opinion of me, positive or negative, doesn't really have any influence over how I feel about myself, because
exactly.
I understand
exactly.
My experience of myself is the most important, right, in this, right? And that's where but what you're talking about is really spiritual integrity, in my opinion. That like I get that I'm the one that's in charge of this, but also that there's a duty and responsibility that comes along with this, and that if I violate that consciously, I'm creating karma in my life that is ultimately going to change my magnetic field that we were talking about before. It's been, we can actually measure this too. When your emotional state changes, your DC voltage output changes. But so your magnetic field does change. And because, opposites attract in electricity, but like attracts like magnetically, it seems, you know, especially if there's a resonant frequency, what ends up happening is we start attracting the things that we put out there. So if you're intentionally doing wrong, you attract other things that are intentionally doing wrong, so as to generate the opportunity for a lesson to come into your life. And if you get the lesson, and usually it's through pain and some hardship, but if you do get the lesson, you learn never to repeat that again, which is a benefit, but you also get the blessing of that knowledge moving forward too, and therefore become re-enlightened in the process.
And knowledge is power.
And it is the ultimate power.
You can self-power yourself. That's an interesting way you put that. That's very cool.
Yeah, well, it just seems to be the way it is. Well, if we accept a higher truth that we are beings of light, and you have ever pondered and spent time on what actually light is, you know, that's the thing that's, to me, is really cool, is like, when you actually stop for a second and go, what is light? You know I can go and read about photons and all this other stuff, and, you know, people explaining the phenomenon. But what is it? I mean, you're talking about something that is, the moment it comes into existence, is already at the speed that it's going to obtain. It's a constant. It doesn't accelerate or decelerate from that. It just is, right? And you have to start asking yourself philosophically, well, what actually is that? Because in our realm, all we know is that things change, and that things, you know, accelerate and decelerate and all this, but not light. Light just is.
It is.
Right? And it's not a, I don't think it's an accident that historically we've always associated God and our creator as this, you know, as equated with light, and that false gods or false beings try to equate themselves with light too, but ultimately in their actions demonstrate that there has been a fall from that light. And that's where you get into the Isaiahs, was it Isaiah 14:12 and things like that. But I gotta tell you too, I'm in love with existing at all, and I want to share that possibility with everybody that I come in contact with, hopefully with words, of course, but through example as well. You know, that this is every moment you're alive is a moment to be celebrated, really, and grateful for. But every moment you wake up is an opportunity to say thank you.
Right.
And get back into this great thing we call, even if it's hard, you know, there's going to be days where it sucks. but I'd rather have a day that sucks than not to have that day at all.
Right. Because there's a lot of guys 6 feet under that don't have that day anymore.
Exactly. And that's going to be us at some point.
Yep.
we won't really be 6 feet under. We'll be somewhere else.
Or if we're in bed and we get cooked, you know, that's a thing. Yeah. We go to bed and it's nice and dry, and then all of a sudden we get a rainstorm, and there I am, Crispy Tim.
Well, there's Crispy Tim. I was just going to say Crispy Tim. See, we're on the same vibration. That's resonance right there. I was just going to say Crispy Tim.
Yeah, I don't mind Crispy Creams, but Christy Tim?
Crispy Tim, I like that a little less. I don't want to be oiled up and fried.
Right.
Yeah, brother man. Like, this is... I mean, it's really a beautiful thing we get, right? And no matter how long you get it, it's really a beautiful thing. When you think about it, like, the thing I keep coming back to with everyone is we didn't have to exist. There was nothing that said I had to exist ever, let alone be able to achieve this, the life that I've been blessed with, you know? And it makes every day the opportunity for gratitude.
Well, there's a lot of people hearing your message here today. Well, they will when it publishes. When the episode drops, we are now in 75 countries. Well past the 70, well, I'm sorry, seven languages that I know of that they're being translated to. And we're well past 45 million.
Wow, dude. Congratulations, so man. Way to get that out there.
It's yeah, and it's not like an underground bunker type of thing, right? It's just having some common sense conversations. And it doesn't matter what language or what you do. I mean, kick back and listen, and whatever your government is, whatever your political views are, sometimes you just got to be common sense.
Oh.
And talking to you grounds me.
I want to live in the world that you're talking about. I know that. That world sounds pretty cool. I want to go back to the days of carrying around cardboard and boom boxes and breakdancing in the middle of the street on a moment's notice. You know,
too fat and too old for that now. That day's passed.
Well, I got to tell you, there is certain benefits to having a little extra poundage on you and a few extra years, few extra trips around the sun on you, because I'm sure you could enjoy watching somebody do that just the same.
Yes. It's a past thing for me, but let's plug. Do you have a book, or what do you do? What's your website? How can we get that out there?
Well, first of all, if anybody wants to come and hang out with me and join the EHI family, I would say go to energetichealthinstitute.org. You can check out our, you know, the radio shows, the wonderful interviews that I'm doing, like with you, our incredible catalog of courses. We have a great course coming out. I think just tomorrow it's going to be Geoengineering 5G and the Internet of Things, authored by Nikki Florio from Be Heroic. It's a course that we strongly encourage everybody to take so they can get very well versed on what actually is going on and some simple solutions to it. Tomorrow, on the 24th of April, we have at 5 p.m. Pacific. And so if this publishes afterward, you can just come in and watch the replay, but we have healingforthages.com.
Healing for the Ages, yeah.
And that's where we're going to be talking and be releasing some of my latest research on microsomal EDTA as a chelator. And Dr. Artis is going to be releasing some of his research on how some of the drugs are really impacting the nervous system. And I think he's going to be talking a little bit about taurine as well. He's been doing some phenomenal research on taurine.
Yes. And the other N word, he says.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I gave him permission. I was like, yeah, you got an honorary brother card. You can say that whatever you want. So we're going to be doing that. Dr. Group's going to, of course, be his incredibly enlightened self. I don't think he's ever lost the light in his entire life. And Dr. Jana, is going to be sharing some really beautiful stuff. But we actually open up registration tomorrow for our Solution Summit. We're doing a one-day virtual Solution Summit on May 25th. The Solution Summit is going to be the topic or EMFs and earthing. So it's going to be all the things that you can do, how various herbs support protection from EMFs, how earthing, I'm going to be talking about that, and Dr. Artis is going to be talking about how some of the medications that are contaminated and are working against, you know, things like earthing and stuff like that. So we're going to be talking about that. And of course, solutions. We're also going to be sharing, we're bringing in two of our research team members, Maria and Wendy, who have been, we purchased some really powerful microscopes to see in deeper into the blood than we've ever been able to see before and see what's going on. So we're going to actually release those and prove to the world what's going on in the blood.
Wow.
Right now. So things that people have never seen before are going to be in that conference, and always a lot of love and a lot of gratitude. You know, that's our hallmark. And I think that's the one thing that I'm really proud of with all the work we do together is that people come in and they come into these conferences and these free master classes and the things that we do, and they come in and they feel better about the world and about life itself, you know, from what we're bringing to the table. So get a little bit of love, energy, and a little bit of love, light, laughter, logic, you know, into you. And that's what we got coming up. So go to energetichealthinstitute.org and go to healingfortheages.com and make sure you get connected with everything we're doing. And we'd love to have you and be grateful for you. And I just want to say thank you to you for giving me this opportunity to speak with you and to reach your audience all around the world and let them know that, yeah, absolutely, you are 100% loved. And we are grateful for you.
Well, we are 1.2439 minutes and then seconds into this thing. So it was kind of a long show, but you know, I think it's worth it. And I appreciate you coming on the show again. We always love to hear your point of view and stuff. And again, you recharge me just by listening.
Amen.
So I'm just listening to you going, dude, you rock this.
Thank you so much. And I feel the same way about you, brother. It's so awesome to work with you.
And make sure that if you would like to rebroadcast this, knock yourself out, send it to whoever you want to. Artis is going to start redoing his, and I'm going to do the other two in Healing of the Ages interviews coming up. Christine's going to line us up. So I plan to have a good conversation with them as well.
Amen. Oh, isn't it so much fun talking to all these cool people? I mean, like the one thing about all this is we found each other, right?
Right.
I mean, what a gift. What a gift that is, right?
Right. And I'll try not to be a Tim Kebab. So we'll watch that.
Yeah. Okay. No crispy Tims. Sorry.
No crispy Tims. I'm going to say no on that one. But hey, you know, if it's my time, I guess Dr. Lightning, here we go.
Right.
But I do want to thank you for coming on the show. Again, as always, it is very enlightening. And yeah, I'll get you a link so you can listen and broadcast and spend and whatever you want to do, because this is really good information.
Good, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. And I'll get it over to Jordan, but I'll make sure Christina has, so you have the two emails to get it to and everything, so we can help promote it, of course.
Well, as always, again, thank you. And for Hutcast, thanks for listening, for tuning in. And Dr. Ely has got some outstanding information. And we're going to try some of that. We're going to do some of that grounding. I'm going to try that. And I actually have some very powerful lab scopes that we could do this with. So I'll report back how that lays out.
Oh, I'd love to see it. Thank you.
Okay. Signing off, Hutcast. Be well, everybody. We'll see you next time.
And that's a wrap for Hutcast. Hutcast is, again, a pragmatic approach to seeing things how some people see him. If you like our show, give us a thumbs up on the Facebook site. Again, for Hutcast, thank you again. Have a wonderful evening.